Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
We're go fly.
Guidance.
Guidance go.
Procedures.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go fly.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
This is Space Talk, a weekly program that highlights America's space program and what's new in space flight from around the globe. And now, with the past, present, and future of space exploration, here is Jim Behnke.
Greetings from Florida's Space Coast, home of the most skilled aerospace workforce in America. I'm Jim Behnke, and this is the March 5th, 2011 edition of Space Talk, brought to you by Space Florida, committed to expanding Florida's aerospace enterprise. Well, we're certainly glad to have you aboard again for another hour of conversation about our space program. And it surely is a busy day today, as it seems to be a lot lately, and that's good. We've got an Atlas countdown underway right now at the Cape. New launch time of 4:19 p.m. That announced just a couple of minutes ago. We'll talk more about that later in the hour. We've got Space Shuttle Discovery in orbit on its final mission. A couple other things going on in space news we'll talk about in a moment. And in just a few more moments, today on the program we'll be joined by Congressman Bill Posey, who is going to call in and discuss all of this and what's going on up in Washington right now. We do have a lot to cover today. Along the way, at any time, as usual, we sure do invite your conversation, your questions, your comments. We want to know what's on your mind in terms of the space program, especially as we talk about some of these things. If you've got questions or comments on anything having to do with space, you are certainly welcome to give us a call. The usual numbers, 321 is the area code. 768-1240 is the phone number. That'll get you to the studio anywhere in America. Star 1240 is the number for an AT&T wireless customer along the Space Coast here. Just punch that in. It's a free phone call. Takes you right here to the studio. And if you are listening to us online at WMMBAM.com, or perhaps you're just more comfortable with email, you can send us a note electronically. The address is spacetalking@AOL.com. And we'll see that pop up here on the screen and try to get to you just as quickly as possible. Well, let's take a look at what's going on in space this week. One bit of good news and one little bit of bad news to share. But certainly the good news is all over the International Space Station. Discovery remains docked to the space station today. It was launched February 24th, so that puts it about 11 days in space right now. And during those 11 days, things have been moving along fairly smartly, 12 people living and working in orbit together. Both of the spacewalks that were planned for the mission are complete and got all of the objectives done. The permanent module, the old Leonardo multipurpose module, which is now the permanent module, has been affixed to one of the nodes on the space station. They've started to unpack that thing, the rack that would sit out on the space station and hold big spare parts outside has also been affixed. And again, all of that went well. During the course of these last few days, seeing how things have been going, NASA mission managers were able to extend the mission 2 days. So now, as of this moment anyway, the shuttle now scheduled to undock from the space station on Monday at 7:03 a.m. and land on Wednesday here back at the Kennedy Space Center at 11:58 a.m., just a couple of minutes before noon on Wednesday. They've decided not to do the Soyuz undocking and photo opportunity that we had discussed. The Soyuz rocket, the spacecraft, is a new version, has some new electronics on board, and the Russians just ultimately were uncomfortable adding that new programming on what is essentially the spacecraft's first operational flight. So that's not going to happen. A couple of kind of fun things are going to happen. Before this mission, as the shuttles have been wrapping up, NASA held a wake-up call contest. You could send in and vote for what you thought the crew ought to hear as a wake-up call. Normally, those pieces of music are selected by family members, And in this case, they gave up a couple of them. They had the big list. They made the announcement. And in fact, it's going to be Blue Sky by Big Head Todd and the Monsters. And just on cue, there it is in the background. This was the winning entry by several thousand votes. And this is going to be played Tuesday morning. If you want to get up and hear it live, Tuesday morning at 3:23 a.m., going to play this song as the wake-up crew, as the wake-up song for the crew. Got to admit, I'm not familiar with it, but apparently it was the overwhelming majority favorite. So either there was not a conspiracy, but certainly a plan to vote for. Of course, what was the second one in the list? We won't play it, but the second one, the theme from Star Trek, from the original series, the old Alexander Courage theme, will be played. As that was the second runner-up, and they're actually going to play that Monday morning at 3:23. So a little fun there, a little opportunity to involve the public at the last minute with the space shuttle mission, and I'm all for it. That sounds like a great idea, and there you go. So let's see, what else on this shuttle mission? Well, that's pretty much about it. Discovery's final flight, again, going well. They undock Monday. They land on Wednesday. Too early to tell what the weather is at that point, although it looks like it's going to get better after we have a front go through here tomorrow. And more on that as it relates to the Atlas launch here. We'll talk about that later in the show. One little bit of bad news happened yesterday. Want to make sure we call your attention to it. An Orbital Sciences Taurus rocket lifted off from Vandenberg Air Force Base in California yesterday morning and failed to reach orbit. It was carrying a NASA science probe called Glory. What basically happened is that the nose cone of the rocket did not separate as scheduled on time during the flight. And since that happened, the thing weighed too much and the rocket plummeted into the ocean and carried Glory down with it. So Glory was a climate research satellite. It was the second failure of this type in a row for NASA science missions. A satellite called the Orbiting Carbon Observatory had the same thing happen to it on a Taurus rocket back in February of 2009. So two failures in a row for the same reason, and in both cases a climate environmental research satellite have been lost. So interesting to note that. Let's go to Michael Palm Bay with a quick question about the space shuttle. We just got about another minute or two left.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Love the coverage, you know, the launches. Okay, now the shuttle is going to be retired.
Right.
So why not just keep it up in space for storage, power? Why bring that module down here, okay? Why not get the Soyuz people to get us down here and leave it up there?
Leave the space shuttle up there?
Yes, leave as many as you can.
Well,
that's important to the station as part of the structure. And I think we should do that instead of bringing them down here and then rot.
Well, it's an interesting question, Michael. Unfortunately, you just can't do it. The shuttle's not designed to do that. It has to stay powered. It has to stay on and active. Otherwise, systems fall apart, seals break, nasty stuff starts happening and leaking. It's just not designed to sit there and park. Now, it can stay there for a long time, but it outstays its welcome is what it comes down to. And so they've been trying to bring up as much stuff as they can, and again, we'll have to rely on Soyuz and the other spacecraft eventually too. You wish you could just send them up there and let them stay again. It's just not in the cards. It's not the way it's designed, and it actually would get in the way at some point because you're adding a lot of mass and a lot of stuff that just would drag the space station down. There's only a very limited amount of livable space inside the shuttle that you could really take advantage of. So anyway, interesting question. Let's see, what else? I guess what we want to say is that Congressman Bill Posey is going to join us here in just a few moments and get caught up on all of what's happening in Washington and our budget and continuing resolutions and just a lot of the usual stuff there. And so we appreciate him being on board with us in just a moment. Plus your questions and comments along the way. So please stay tuned. Space Talk, sponsored by Space Florida. I'm Jim Banky. You're listening to WMMB.
And now back to Space Talk on WMMB.
And indeed, welcome back to Space Talk, brought to you by Space Florida. Just a quick update on the Atlas countdown. The launch now delayed till 5:46 this afternoon. That's the opening of their second 10-minute window they had available to them today. There's a technical reason. We'll talk about it more in the final segment of today's show. Just want to let you know, though, that rocket launch still on tap for today, but delayed to 5:46 p.m. now, the current launch time. Well, here we are, more than a year since President Obama directed NASA to set sail on a new course that, well, in my opinion, nobody liked. And then in April of last year, he made a slight course correction, which I think appeased a few people, but only barely. And while Congress has since ordered up its own direction for NASA, which the White House eventually agreed to, sort of, today we sit here, I think, stuck in port, and in my opinion, still with no real clear direction as to where we're headed, and certainly with no money to pay for it. And while all of this is going on, and of course, again, meaning this, meaning, you know, asking NASA to do a lot, but not really providing the money to do it, and even that point can be argued because there are those who will say NASA is getting enough money and they just got to get their house in order. All that happening, tactically, strategically, the House of Representatives changes hands. There's a sea change. The Republicans take control again. They're buoyed by the Tea Party and, you know, just bent on cutting government spending, as maybe they should be doing. But in the meantime, the Democrat-controlled Senate and the White House can't seem to get along or go along. And here we are still, again, stuck in port. And now with the threat of the entire government being shut down, because while we debate next year's budget, we still haven't approved and funded and continued to debate last year's budget. So all that going and the rife in the NFL. But don't get me going on what that whole story is all about. Let's try to get some sense. Let's go to the man who knows what's going on, our representative in Washington, Congressman Bill Posey, returns to Space Talk to hopefully clear things up. Congressman Posey, how are you doing today?
Doing good. How you doing, Jim?
Good. It's glad to talk to you again. We haven't had a chance to chat since the elections, so congratulations for regaining your seat and continuing to do the good work up there.
Didn't realize it'd been that long.
Yeah, it has been. Hey, let's talk about it. What is the latest right now in terms of big picture government? Because we have a lot of government workers down here, a lot of contractors concerned about a shutdown. You've got a 2-week, continuing of the contract, as it were. What's the latest on all that?
Well, you know, just to put everything in a proper perspective, you know, we're looking at the Discovery final flight. You know, which is short-sighted to retire the shuttles with no successor vehicle waiting in the wings.
Yeah.
You know, as we watch Atlantis launch this summer, it'll be more bitter than it will be sweet. We still have no idea what vehicle we'll use, if any, to return to space and when. You know, this is why we fought to extend the life of the shuttle. As you know, in 2008, in a speech on the Space Coast, President promised that he would close the gap between shuttle and Constellation, and he would keep America first in space. But it seems that just the opposite has happened. You know, the gap has now been made eternal, or at least indefinite, since he canceled the Constellation program. You know, the shuttles, which were designed to fly up to 100 missions each, are only halfway through their useful lifespan. You know, I think it's ridiculous to surrender our ability to access space while paying the Russians to send our astronauts up there. I mean, it's a tragic shame. It's our space program is a crown jewel of America, and as someone said in a Florida Today letter to the editor last week, it's our corn seed.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Well, and the administration's lack of vision really undermines the key to driving our technology further.
Well, let me ask you some basic questions that's going to get us to talking details on what you just said, and again, I'm trying to get a sense of is there a path to working this out? You know, the shutdown is a big deal for everyone right now, and that's telling us that our Democrats and Republicans being able to work together and find a way to go. Ultimately, in this case, Congressman, to find a way to fund NASA is not just another, you know, across the board budget cut. You know, it you can't just across the board budget cut NASA. You can't, in my opinion, you've got to target some selected government activities to pay for, rather than just slice everything. Because if you roll back NASA's budget, for example, back to some previous year's number, we're never going to get off the ground with any kind of a replacement for shuttle or even pay for continuing shuttle. What's the story there?
Well, as you know, and you and I have discussed, certainly I consider our space program part of our national defense. I mean, it's the free world's Golan Heights. I've explained that before, I think.
Right.
And absolutely necessary. I mean, from an economic standpoint, imagine if we abdicate all space, you know, to the servicing and protecting of our satellites. Imagine a day without these cell phone communications we're talking on now. You know, laptops not working, no weather reports, no credit card exchanges, no bank withdrawals, all that stuff, satellite link. And so I think you have to look at it as a matter of national security, which it's not being viewed at as right now.
No.
As we attempt to pay down this enormous, gargantuan national debt, and just for your viewers to have us a baseline, you know, the current budget's about $3.7 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
The revenue that we have from your income taxes, my income taxes, and everybody's listening income taxes, and corporate income taxes, and gas taxes, is about $2 trillion. So, as you can see, we have to borrow about 40 cents out of every dollar we spend. Now, that $2 trillion line covers Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, veterans benefits, and interest.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else that we do has to be borrowed, including space, including the rest of national defense, including maintaining our roads. Now, I made a lot of enemies during a budget process. We debated budget for 90 hours last week, week before last, actually. 90 hours in 1 week we debated it. Went till 1 o'clock in the morning one day, 2 o'clock in the morning one day, I think, and 4:30 on the final day. Dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of amendments, some of which directly affected NASA and will give us a little bit better insight to the future.
Mm-hmm.
One amendment was to make a 5% across-the-board cut in every state agency or every federal agency.
Right.
And I feel just like you. I mean, you can't do that. That would really have crucified NASA. And then where would they take it out of? You know, most of the money that's been going to NASA, even in a stimulus, the largest part of it's been going to climate study, not human space exploration. Just like families listening to this today, I mean, your family can't take an across-the-board 5% cut in most cases. I mean, you might be able to cut back on your entertainment and go out to dinner less or whatever. You might be able to save 5% on your electrical bill and maybe on your water bill by cutting back. But you send your mortgage company 95% of your mortgage payment, you know, and the security over your head is history.
Well,
you're out in the street, in worst case, than you started.
Yeah, and no bank is going to lend you 40% of your income to pay for expenses that, you know, maybe you can get along without, but maybe you really can't get along without. I mean, they're just not going to do it.
Yeah, I saw them attempt to make across-the-board cuts when I was in the state legislature. Mario Desbloat was chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee, and he had every agency say what they would do if they had to cut 25% with the intention of cutting, I think, 5% of that.
Yeah.
And HRS at the time, which had, James Toohey, who literally studied at the knee of Mother Teresa, was one of the most respected agency heads in Florida at the time, was the secretary of HRS. And so what did he propose to cut? Did he propose to cut some bureaucrats out? No. Did he propose to cut out the least efficient or lowest performing programs or least utilized? No. He teed up that he would reduce and eliminate Part H funding. That's the part that, you know, is for children and iron lungs. And I mean, so, you know, you do that, and the bureaucrats kind of go off the reservation and kind of say, we'll show you, Congress or legislature, if you dare to tell us what to cut, we'll embarrass you. You know, we can't live without any less money. You know, and it reminds me of that old story. Everybody's heard it, I assume, and I hope it's not a true story, but where they had some government surplus and they needed a night watchman, you know, to stop because people were stealing the stuff. So they hired a watchman who needed a supervisor, who needed a secretary, who needed an assistant, and on and on it went till we got 20 people. Well, what happens when you give them a 5% cut?
Right.
20 people, they have to cut with somebody, right?
Right.
So they fire the guard.
Right.
I mean, you know, that's just what happens. It's the responsibility of Congress to go in there and surgically make the cuts so that the will of Congress is done, the will of the people is done, not the will of the unelected, unaccounted bureaucrats.
Yeah, absolutely. Congressman, let's take a pause right here. We're already up on our first break. So stand by with those thoughts as we do take our five-minute built-in hold. We'll get everybody caught up on latest news, weather, and sports. And then when we return, we'll talk more about the space program and the future of NASA with our guest, Congressman Bill Posey. Don't forget, once again, the Atlas launch now 5:46, the current launch time. So stick around, keep your fingers crossed. Space Talk brought to you by Space Florida. I'm Jim Banky, and you're listening to WMMB.
With everything you need to know about America's space program, here is Jim Banky.
Welcome back to our second half of Space Talk on WMMB, brought to you by Space Florida, committed to expanding Florida's aerospace enterprise. Well, on the phone with us today is our friend and congressman, representative in Washington, Congressman Bill Posey. And Congressman, we've been talking in the previous segment about big picture stuff and certainly your desire to continue to see the space shuttle fly. I've given up on that personally because I just don't see it happening. Do you have reasons to believe that can still be pulled out of the hat at the last minute, and that, you know, certainly with Discovery on orbit now, when it comes back, you know, there are going to be black boxes that can either be turned off and kept there, or turned off and unbolted, and that's it. It's done. It's time, isn't it, to make that decision?
Well, the president's already earmarked $14 million to go to Ohio to help improve a museum that put it in.
Yeah, Discovery.
That's pretty damn sad.
Actually, for Atlantis.
Sad, excuse me. And, you know, just the bell ringer or the scale to look at now is 2 weeks ago when we were amending the budget, looking to try and just begin some reasonable cuts. Representative Wiener from New York offered amendment to the NASA budget. Now, remember, the NASA budget already took a $300 million hit in committee 3 weeks ago.
Right.
But Frank Wolf of Virginia, who I think is the greatest advocate up there for NASA and space exploration, at least, said that will not affect our ability to stay on schedule with our shuttle launches. But Wiener's amendment took another $298 million away from NASA and put it in the COPS program.
Yeah.
That's a Justice Department program with I think, great lack of accountability, supposedly to put more cops on the street. There's been a lot of criticism about the worthiness of that program for big cities, by the way. That amendment passed, Jim, as I recall, don't hold me to it, but I think it was something like 223 to 203. We worked hard to get that thing beat, but there's a couple problems. You know, number one, the rest of the nation does not appreciate a lot of it, space like we do.
Right.
And number two, they take a program with the word cops in it, and a lot of representatives are too cowardly to vote against it because they're afraid they'll be vilified at home, as I have on some blogs already. He's voting against the police.
Right.
He's
right.
Pro-criminal, you know. And that's real unfortunate, but that's the reality of it. That amendment hurt, by the way, and it gave us a baseline. I mean, when we had the last launch, I had already made plans to be with some grandchildren watching their soccer games in Alabama. First one I've missed, I think. And about an hour before launch time, I turned on the TV. My kids there get 187 channels on their cable network.
Right.
And I started looking for the countdown.
Right.
And I'm panicking. I'm going through 187 channels, and I don't see a shuttle anywhere. Now, this is Montgomery, Alabama, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Not that
yeah.
far from Huntsville.
Yeah.
And finally, on Fox, 5 minutes before countdown, I came upon that channel, and it showed a little picture up in the corner. And at just about launch time, they switched to the Space Center and covered the launch.
Right.
But my point in sharing that, Jim, is that the rest of the country doesn't follow this stuff like we do. And I can't tell you how many representatives expressed a thought that putting money in space is just launching money into space
right.
with no benefit. And when I get the opportunity to talk to them individually one-on-one, which is hard, by the way, everybody's time is valuable, and talk about the national defense and talk about, you know, trying to use a credit card without a satellite link, they come on and they're a little bit more in tune to it. But the fight for funding up there is brutal, and we don't have a majority of Congress on our side to start with.
Yeah. Yeah, and things are splintered, and they don't understand the value, and you're right, the time is valuable. I've always preached for years that it takes convincing people to do the space program, you know, one person at a time.
Yes, sir.
You know, you got to get them here, you got to get them to watch a launch, and then suddenly they understand, you know, in a way that personalizes it, that it just doesn't happen otherwise. But so all of that said, now let me ask you a couple of, try to get you to do some specific answers here on a couple of things. First of all, I'm curious, you know, NASA keeps saying that the Atlantis mission, Congressman, is definitely going to fly. And I know that technically, legally, constitutionally, whatever word you want to use, they don't actually have the money appropriated for that, but they seem to think they've got enough money to do that. Is that your sense as well? Do you think, as our representative, that they've got the money they need to fly that thing? Because I know you certainly support that mission flying.
Well, yes, and that they need that program. That's not an optional program. You know, they need that launch to bring equipment,
right,
supplies to the space station for the continuing operation of the space station itself. And so I'm inclined to believe them that one way or the other, they're going to make that happen.
And you don't need to, quote-unquote, get in the way to deal with that. I mean, they think they're good and that mission is going to happen. If they get the funding, then I'm sure that's great. But I guess I'm stumbling over how to say it, but they're going to fly it no matter what.
That's my opinion too, Jim.
Okay. And you know, your thoughts, again, now, Discovery is going to come back. Going to get ready for a museum and all of that. We look to the future. We look to solving this problem of the gap. You know, what's your level of confidence in folks like the commercial folks that are coming up here in the Falcon 9 and all that to giving us a replacement for that shuttle just as quickly as possible?
Well, you know, the good news in getting the Falcon 9, for example, the program office here, is that we're pleased to have SpaceX launching out of the Cape.
Right.
While continuing to advance commercial capability, which is critical to our future in space, I believe. It's even more important that we have an NASA-led exploration program that has a clearly defined and attainable mission, however. And regardless of what the future holds for our nation's space program, the Space Force will remain an important part of the program. But, you know, there's still this big debate over the heavy lift.
Yeah,
you know,
that was my next question.
Yeah, can NASA change the way that it does business? You know, does it need to? I mean, it goes back to what I said earlier about priorities. You know, NASA has to prioritize, and I hope and I think in favor of human space flight over the other scientific studies they're involved in. Not that all of them aren't important, but, you know, you have to prioritize. So what's the core mission? And I think the core mission is human space exploration, not supporting Al Gore's theories about global warming.
Right.
Particularly with the, you know, unprecedented freezes we're having right now.
Well,
you know, in the fiscal year 2010, NASA spent 7.5% of its money, that's over $1 billion, on studying the climate change. More than half the funds NASA received in the stimulus went to climate change. Overall, you know, government spent almost $9 billion across 16 different state agencies and departments on efforts to study global warming.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so if NASA was to get out of global warming, you know, then we only have 15 agencies studying global warming and one focused on space exploration, which is the way I think it ought to be.
Which, by the way, I'll just say editorially and parenthetically here, the loss of glory yesterday, you know, from Vandenberg and the loss of the Orbiting Carbon Observatory a couple of years ago, you know, if you're not for NASA, and I'm not saying you, Congressman, I'm saying you editorially are not for NASA doing this kind of research, the loss of those two satellites is just kind of a, you know,
wake-up call.
Yeah, like a twist of the knife in the back or something, you know. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, of all the bad satellites to lose. But in any case, you're right. Now, what do you think about this idea, and it's something I've talked about, I've heard a few others begin to talk about it, you know, space exploration, space utilization. Why can't we explore space, but also in doing so, you know, set up the infrastructure for better utilization of space? There's so much emphasis on clean energy. You know, well, we've got clean energy in space. We've got solar energy. We've got the ability to get materials for greater research into fission and that kind of thing. With just about a minute left, what do you think about marrying up clean energy research with the space mission and give us the infrastructure we need to go out there and do that?
Well, it's a sub-responsibility. I think that's great. And you know, most most of the high-tech technologies that we have right now have come from space. But again, I think, you know, we need to prioritize and keep human exploration, keep fighting for human exploration to the forefront.
Yeah.
Where there will be no modern-day Marco Polos, Magellans, or Christopher Columbuses. You know, what if Queen Isabella had said, look, Chris, budget's just too tight now, buddy. You're going to have to park that ship for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
yeah.
It'd be terrible.
And I know we're going to go out into space. I know we're going to go back to the moon and on to Mars. Someone's going to do it. I'd like it to be someone that speaks English. And I wouldn't mind having that NASA meatball still be a part of it as opposed to some other way of doing it.
Well, the Russians and the Chinese both say they're going to the moon. They are not going there to collect rocks like we did and do scientific experiments.
Right.
You know, they're going to colonize the moon, you know, which, you know, we view as the ultimate military high ground right now. And it's foolish of us to abandon the lead in space exploration and national defense.
Well,
it
Congressman,
doesn't make any sense.
No, Congressman Posey, and with those words, those are good words to finish with you, sir. Thank you for your leadership up there. Keep up the good work, and we'll get in touch with you again here in another couple of weeks and do this again, okay?
Always a pleasure, Jim.
Congressman Posey, thanks a lot. This is Space Talk. You're listening to WMMB, all of it brought to you by Space Florida. We'll be back with a little bit more news right after these final words.
Now, back to our own mission specialist, Jim Behnke.
And welcome back as we begin our final segment of today's edition of Space Talk, sponsored by Space Florida. Again, our thanks to Congressman Bill Posey. Space Talk also brought to you today by the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex. You know, spring breaks are underway. The snowbirds are arriving, showing up en masse. If you happen to know of someone planning a trip to Central Florida, be sure they don't miss the chance to meet an astronaut, walk beneath the Saturn V moon rocket, or train in spaceflight simulators, perhaps even see a launch. And now, for a limited time, enjoy $5 off the price of admission to the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex. Just go online and visit kennedyspacecenter.com for all the details. Well, a couple of other quick things I want you to be aware of real fast here. Sneak them in. The first is that the Astronaut Scholarship Foundation is having its 2011 spring semi-annual online Astronaut Experiences and Memorial Auction. Let's see if that's got a decent acronym to go with it. You can preview a whole bunch of neat things online right now and start bidding between March 18th and 26th. We'll remind you again next weekend. I'll post a link to all this online at our Space Talk webpage at WMMBAM.com, keywords Space Talk. The other note, too, something coming up this Friday, space historian and policy guru and just a really neat guy, Dr. John Logsdon, will be at the BCC Planetarium at 7 o'clock on the Cocos Coco campus this Friday for a free lecture. He's updated a book he wrote a few years ago about President Kennedy and the decision to take the race to the moon. A lot of interesting things in this book that you may not have been aware of about President Kennedy. Dr. Logsdon was going to be our guest today and had a family thing come up at the last minute. So we rescheduled him for April 2nd. And again, thanks to Congressman Posey for filling in. In the meantime, if you want a teaser of, again, what that show is going to be all about on March or on April 2nd, go to this free lecture at 7 o'clock Friday at the BCC Planetarium in Cocoa. Okay, on the phone with us now for our update from our sponsor, Space Florida, Pat McCarthy, the Director of Spaceport Operations for that fine organization, joins us. Pat, how are you today?
Doing great, Jim. How about you?
Well, lots going on with you, sir. Let's talk about what's going on with the program you're doing with the TRDA.
That's right. We formed a partnership with the Technological Research and Development Authority there in Melbourne, and we're going to do a cooperative project for Capital Acceleration Program, which is going to help industry sectors in aerospace, life sciences, clean energy, those kinds of things. And we're going to help assess companies' readiness for whether or not they can get state and private investment, because we're going to give them some mentoring and commercialization services and teach them how to make their business case better so that they can look good to venture capitalists.
And are they aerospace-related folks, you know, or just technological?
It's going to cover all high-tech sectors, because, you know, if you look at our website, it got the big pyramid on there that talks about how we're going to expand our base of across different industry sectors. So it's going to be all the way across from aerospace to telecommunications, homeland security, clean energy, the whole gamut of different industries.
Interesting. Now, I want to move on to something here, Pat. I saw, as I know all of you did, a letter to the editor in Florida today from Elon Musk, the chairman of SpaceX, the launcher builder of Falcon 9. And Elon's done a great job to try to become a part of the community here. But he did take, a swipe at Space Florida, talking about that they've received limited aid from Space Florida, and that maybe instead of Space Florida trying to build a launch pad, they ought to do more to enhance the launch site in general. I'm not even sure what he's talking about. What's your reactions to all that? Because I know you guys have done a lot to help them.
Well, sure, and not to editorialize, but no, we've been working with SpaceX and offering them some pretty substantial incentives as they grow their capability here at the Cape. You know, the more jobs they bring, the more incentives and things they're going to get from the state. So we've been helping them, and really, as we've been helping every other commercial crew or COTS contractor that's bringing business to Florida, you know, our aim is to encourage any viable contractor to grow their business here in the state. I mean, you know, but on the other hand, we also need to balance that by being good stewards of Florida taxpayer dollars. And, you know, we're not going to put all the state's eggs into one basket. So we have to look across the spectrum here and make sure that we're assisting companies that we think are going to be successful and bring more jobs to the state.
Yeah, I think Elon, I mean, it's looking like he's talking more about that, you know, Florida was trying to say something about they weren't moving fast enough to grow fast enough, and he was trying to show how there are different ways to do that. Well, it was fascinating to see all that, and I know you guys have done a lot, so I want to give you a chance to comment. Coming up, speaking of incentives and aids, let's wrap up with a quick word. We're going to spend next week talking about Space Day overall, but that's clearly on your guys' minds as well coming up here.
Absolutely. We got a big legislative priority list that we're taking to Tallahassee, and we're counting on the support of both the general public and, of course, our legislative representatives in Tallahassee to get a lot of new incentives and R&D credits and things like that for new businesses to entice them to come here to Florida to do business.
That's great. Pat, we're going to say goodbye to you. Thanks for the update.
You're welcome, Jim. See you soon.
Let's go quickly to Bill from Melbourne, a comment about funding.
Jim, you're doing phenomenal. Jim, regarding this thing you talked with Representative Posey, if we could, you know how big contracts for anything, space or otherwise, you get all the other 49 states senators and representatives involved. And when you think about the unique environment like Livermore, unlike Livermore other places, that space is, whether it's medical research, materials research, or whatever, if they can put together a compelling argument as to why all companies in all 50 states in these different high-tech areas that produce the high incomes and the new innovations that will keep us ahead of China and the other countries. If we had people who could do that kind of stuff, put that all together, we can move forward, including with government and private launch facilities. So I just thank you very much for your getting the word out.
Great, Bill. Thanks for your comments. Appreciate you phoning in and letting us know that. Let's take a quick look at our launch forecast. We've got just about a minute to go. Brought to you by United Space Alliance. Innovation you can trust, performance you can count on. Well, the Atlas V, as we've been talking about, now scheduled to launch at 5:46. The winds have been a problem during this afternoon. They appear to be calming down. There was a technical problem at the pad that delayed the launch with a regulator that deals with helium in the inner stage of the rocket. That repair required a replacement of some hardware, and that was done, and they found that they could not make the first window. So they're now looking at a 5:46 p.m. launch time with a 10-minute launch window. Officially, the weather is 60% no-go, but the winds do appear to be calming. Clouds don't seem to be a problem for today. So we will come on the air probably about 5:41, 5:42 or so, and let you know what's going on with that countdown and that launch at that time. So even though we're not going to say a lot between now and then, keep your radio tuned to WMMB, and we'll be sure that that the news gets out as soon as we have it. Next week on Space Talk, my guest is Kevin Hausstrasser from Boeing. He's the chairman of the group that does lead the annual Space Day in Tallahassee. He's going to be here to update us on what's going on. Space Talk, sponsored by Space Florida, production of Mila Solutions. Aaron Michaels is my chief engineer. Please stay tuned. I'm Jim Bankey. We'll talk to you again real soon.